भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 20 द रेनी सीजन एंड ऑटम टेक्स्ट 37। नैवाविदन्शीयमानम् जलम गाध जले चरह यथायुरन्वहं शय्यम् नरा मूढ़ा कुटुंबिनः नैवाविदन्शीयमानम् जलम गाध जले चरह यथायुरन्वहं शय्यम् नरा मूढ़ा कुटुंबिनः नैवाविदन्शीयमानम् जलम गाध जले चरह यथायुरन्वहं शय्यम् नरा मूढ़ा कुटुंबिनः।
लेडीज उदम शीयमाणम् जलं गाध जले चरः यथायुरन्वहं शय्यम् नॉट एव इंडीड अविदम एप्रिशिएटेड शीयमानम डिमिनिशिंग जलम द वाटर गाध जले इन शैलो वाटर चराहा दोज हु मूव यथा एज आयुहु their life span anuham every day shayam diminishing naraha men moodha foolish. Kutumbinaha, living with family members. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: the fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing. Just as foolish family man cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day. Purport: after the rainy season, the water gradually goes down, but stupid fish do not understand this. Thus they are often stranded on the lake's shores and river banks. Similarly, those infatuated with family life do not understand that the remainder of their life is constantly decreasing. Thus they fail to perfect their Krishna consciousness and are stranded in the cycle of birth and death. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashat Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurtushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas to glorify Lord and our purification. So, I just tried to collect few things from what I have heard from devotees. So in this verse, very beautiful analogy is given that how when person gets absorbed in his own self or in his own enjoyment, in his own complacency, whatever, like normal course of life, and doesn't see the future which is going to come, which is awaiting down the line 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. So then actually that person is actually inviting, most of the time it is inviting the very dangerous situation, because the kind of situation we are living in right now, it's temporary. It's going to be taken away. So intelligent person always try to use this temporary situation so that he can win better situation. Like we used to hear this story in the beginning when we used to hear the lectures, that this person, you know, he actually his boat sank and he was there somewhere in the ocean trying to survive. And fortunately he landed on one island. And he was just hoping that if I survive, it's a very big thing. But there they made him king. He said, why? Why are you making me king? He said, no, we were looking for somebody. We didn't have the king now. So if somebody else would have been there, he would have just enjoyed, you know, day after day, year after year. So he was intelligent person. He asked them, but what about the previous king? What happened to the previous kings? So they told that actually what happens that we only allow somebody to be king for, you know, some particular time, like 2 years. What about after that? He said, after that, well, we have another island and we throw that person there. So what about that place? That place is nothing there. It's all, you know, like barren land and no facilities, and person has to really suffer and die eventually. So he said, oh, really? So this person, because he was a king now, and being a king, he has all the facilities, all the powers. So he used all these powers and facilities to create all the facilities at this island. So by the time he will throw me there, at least I'll have something. So basically, an intelligent person uses all his resources in a way that he makes better future in this life also, like about old age or something, and after old age, after death basically. So this is a very important thing, that person has to choose what kind of life he has to live eventually. That choice is with that person. Once there was one sadhu in a village. This story you must have heard many times. So he had beard. So one of the villagers asked him sarcastically, because so many people are, you know, fake sadhus and everything. He said, is this beard, is a beard of sage or is it a beard of goat? So he didn't reply anything. He just kept quiet. After many years, you know, when he really became old and he was really, you know, like passed through that phase of all the sense, powerful senses and temptations and everything, then he met that person. He said, you asked me one day one question, is this a beard of sage or of a goat? So I can say now it is a beard of sage. So because he lived life of that integrity, and unless person lives that life of integrity, he cannot be respected in this world and he cannot be achieving the wonderful things beyond this world. So this is the whole point actually, this is the whole game. Like even in this material world, like people talk about big people, those are rich people, powerful people. But especially if those big people start doing something for others by not expecting anything for themselves, then that talk becomes much more special. Like some of the big business magnates, when they start getting into charity, you know, like some of the names you may be knowing, and when they start giving their hard-earned money in some social work, like curing people from some diseases, helping children and everything. So people look at them in a much more special way, you know. Because till now he was earning money only for himself. Now he is earning money, or even whatever he has earned, he just wants to give. Even in the business field, there are some companies, some corporate, they have like very high ethical values compared. In Kali Yuga, nobody has much, but whatever little you get, that we can appreciate. And still those people are appreciated and glorified and, you know, talked about, and people would like to be part of their corporate and all that. So this principle of, you know, not just living for oneself, it is appreciated by everybody. It's not that only for the devotees and the devotee community. This is a very special principle actually. And if you read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually starts from a very high level that you should always think of me, completely absorbed in me. And eventually he concludes that at least sacrifice something for something, somebody. You know? And their commentaries, if you see, it's not that you have to sacrifice only for Krishna also. There, if we carefully read the commentaries and all that of the acharyas, that sacrifice when Krishna is talking, that even if you give to some material cause, even if you give to somebody, that will lead to some purification. So, that is a thing actually, and that's what actually Prahlad Maharaj was trying to say to his father, that you are living just for yourself actually, and that's why you are finding so many friends and enemies in your life. Actually, the real friends and enemies are your own mind and senses. He said, Na santi vidvisharite ajitad atmanaha. Except for uncontrolled and agitated mind, there is no enemy within the world. There is no enemy in the world. And when person try to live life which is not just based on self-absorption, then he is actually coming out of the control of his mind and senses. Because mind and senses always demanding for oneself. Like this shloka is there, you know, like katina, katida, palita, dhunididedash. That for so many millions of lifetime I have been trying to serve my mind and senses. And these masters are such ungrateful masters that no matter how much I serve them, they are never na trapa no pa shanti. They are never satisfied, they are never peaceful. In this world at least, if you try to serve any master, although there is a world of always exploitation, but here also we will find some time after serving for years together, then master gives some reward, some relief, some vacation. But these masters, they give no reward, no relief, no vacation. Constantly demanding all the time. So this is actually main root of the problem, that actually we have to somehow work on our controlling the mind and senses. Otherwise, even if somebody win the whole world, like this sage, he was invited by Alexander. He said, call that sage, I want to meet him. So that sage told, I am not coming. Even if he chop off my head, I am not coming. Why I am not coming? Because I am not dependent on him. Why should I come? And he might have won the whole world, but actually he has not controlled his mind and senses. He has not achieved the victory over his mind and senses. So then when Alexander heard this, he became very impressed. He actually went and bowed out to him. He said, yeah, this is something very special. So unless we have this kind of surroundings where people, because we need some examples in the society, like this sage acted as an example for Alexander. So unless we have some examples around us who are focusing on this kind of values and ethics and life system, then it's very difficult to practice it actually. It's very difficult. So this kind of culture is actually given from the childhood. Otherwise become very difficult. And that's why we, sometimes find difficulty while practicing principles of Krishna consciousness, of philosophy of Krishna consciousness in our setup also. And we find difficulty with people whom we are dealing, we are trying to preach, and we think that, what is this? He's behaving in such a selfish way. But he has been trained that way. What is his problem? What is his fault? What is your problem? What is your fault? It's actually the whole thing is like that. So this right culture, it starts from the very beginning, And for that we need people around us who are living of a very high character and who are talking about ideal characters, We are talking of ideal characters. I have been hearing about this great king, recent king, Shivaji Maharaj. So his mother, Jijabai, if you see, she was always from childhood talking about stories from Ramayana and Mahabharata. And she was always showing the very high character of sacrifice. So this kind of things, even we see nowadays also in our surroundings. Like that day we had one small get together of Radha Kund Prabhu's, 50th birthday, appearance day. So that day everybody, the very close relatives who had come, some of them were speaking. And one of the devotees was saying, that was a devotee also and very close friend of Radha Kund Prabhu, that Radha Kund Prabhu acquired all these wonderful qualities of managing and, organizing and actually even taking care of others and taking them all everywhere and doing a lot of seva for the society from his mother. Because his mother would be kind of leader of the whole that samaj, you know, they have this Gaur Saraswat Brahman samaj. Not only the leader of Bombay, she was at one time the leader of the whole India. And she would give all the, you know, like from, the, and he would say something about Radha Gunpur and then he would ask. So now you know from where this quality is coming in him, like that. So it's not like overnight thing, you know, ki like we just read some philosophy and we hear some philosophy and immediately, you know, it just comes in our life. It requires, you know, lot of people's help. Like they say, it takes the whole village to grow a child. So it means that we need that kind of people around us, you know. So, but unfortunately nowadays people, instead of appreciating the culture and values and ethics of a Vedic culture, many times people appreciate the glamour of the West, the discipline of the West. They say, oh, I went to this country, everything was so nice. Yeah, it can be nice because their whole focus is to just somehow, you know, keep things, you know, in proper place from external point of view. But internal point of view, what about that? You know, you are controlling from external point of view, but internal point of view, there is no control. Like that way in Lanka also, there was full control system. There was no corruption in Lanka. That's what, you know, Govindu was saying in one lecture I heard from him. He was saying there was no ghuspatia, you know, there is nobody who can enter into the Lanka. Because even when Hanuman tried to enter, he was caught. And he said, nobody can enter here. And even that place, you can appreciate the organization, management, and but what was the value system of those people? It was all exploitation. You bring things from everywhere, then you make your things very nice, you know. Like in London, they have this museum, you know, where they have brought things from everywhere, and there is a diamond there. What is that diamond from India? Kohinoor? And it's a gift from India. Huh? It's a gift from India. And recently that Prime Minister came to India, they requested him, Are apna de do wapis. No, that will not give. We have come for friendship. So this is the situation. In such a situation, if somebody will live, how he can think of doing something for anybody? He will only think of oneself and how to exploit others. So if we also appreciate the kind of little bit superficial, you know, kind of systems they have made, even demons can make those systems, you know, with power and position and taking money from all over, you know, changing the currency into, you know, 1:80. What does it make? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense actually. But you know, just somehow controlling it. Actually, demons are controlling in one way. So basically that support system is required. Otherwise, very difficult to imbibe these qualities where person can live for first oneself and then live for others. You know, that is the idea actually. So if discipline is not there in the early age, then it's very difficult to bring it at later on. And this can be also seen in today's time, because discipline is not there in the early age, childhood age, and even the schools, so children become very, you know, violent, and they goes to the extent that even actually becoming a kind of, you know, killing their own people, teachers and everybody, you know, like this is statistics was shared that 30-40% of the children go to the jail after their schooling, and then they are disciplined in the jail. Because they were not disciplined in the school and in the home, then forcefully they have to be disciplined. So discipline is required. It's not that discipline doesn't have any. The disciple actually, you know, it has to be disciplined. Shishya. So that shikshak would do that actually. Shikshak would do that seva. Teacher would do that. But nowadays if teacher touch also, then you know, he will be put into jail. Radha Govind Maharaj was saying in one lecture I was hearing, he was saying he had gone to one country, say America or some, I think America only, so somebody's house. And one child, the son of that family, he got up little late. So he asked him, hey, why did you get up so late? And nobody woke me up. So he hold his ear. So every day somebody, you need to be woken up. So his father came running. Maharaj, leave his ear. He just phone him, then I will be in trouble, you know. If he call police or somebody, he says, what is this? I am just holding his ear so that he understand. Next time he develops some more responsibility. He says, no, Maharaj, in this country you cannot hold the ear. Yeah? You cannot say anything to child. So when this kind of situation is there, then how, you know, discipline or values will come? So this whole idea people don't know. that the parents live for the children and children live for the parents, and that student live for the teacher and teacher live for the student, and the family live for the kingdom and the king, you know, like that. And kingdom, actually king live for the dharma. So nowadays everybody is living only for oneself. So this is the problem, and in such a situation it's very difficult to expect you know, love and friendship, and you know, so called those, you know, you're talking about top things. We want love and friendship and affection, but there's a problem in the foundation. Problem in the foundation. When Sita Devi was informed, or she came to know that Ram is going to the forest, so when Ram came to meet Sita Devi, Sita Devi told him that I want to come with you. So Ram told, no, you stay here, and while you stay here, you should, you know, be very sober, because now I'll not be here and Bharat will be the king. So you should not appreciate me, you should serve my mother and all that. And she said, don't talk me all these things to me, I know already, and I am coming with you, because I am not going to stay here. My mother has already told all this dharma to me, I know all that. And I have been informed that I am destined to go to forest. So Ram told, no, no, there is so many problems in the forest, this problem, that problem, so many demons are there, rakshasas are there. And she became little, you know, now upset. She got angry. So she said, I want to come with you. I think my father has married me to a eunuch. So then Ram told, okay, you are coming. You know, like she actually told that, you are not able to protect me, I think that's why you are not taking me. But actually, Ram told that now you are coming. Because from Ram's point of view, he wanted to give all protection and facilities to Sita, by not taking her to the forest. And from Sita's point of view, Sita Devi always wanted to give seva to Lord Ram, you know, assist him in his service and assist him in his life and all that. So this is the dynamics actually of any relationship. And when this kind of dynamics are there, then actually sacrifice can be expected, or selfless service can be expected, that both parties are trying to serve each other. Although one person can always do it. One person can always do it, because that person has to really come up to the higher stage. So this is the thing. And for this, we need to know that king will take care of the citizens, and the teachers will take care of the students and all that. And so many things. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we read, this is a description of, we were reading actually for last some time, that all these demigods, they lost their kingdom in the sixth canto we were reading. And when they lost their kingdom, the Indra actually, first actually he disrespected Brihaspati, you know, he didn't respect him, and then because of that he lost, and then he was told that you should go to Vishnu, and you made him your priest. And then Indra came to know that Vishrup is putting offerings to for his relatives, you know, from mother's side, demons also. So Indra became so insecure, what did he do? He cut all his three heads. Now when we read that, you know, like we were discussing with some devotees, the devotees asked that, how can somebody do that? Cutting all the three heads, especially the person who is your priest, and what is he doing? He has taken the responsibility to uplift you. Rather, actually, if you read carefully, Vishrup had given Narayan Kavach to Indra, just to, you know, completely protect him from all the kind of calamities. But Indra became so insecure. Why he became insecure? Very simple. Because he was so attached to his own post and position. He was so self-absorbed. And then, what happens when he cut Vishrupa head? Then Vishrupa's father, Tvasta, he created another person, Vitrasur. Thinking that Vitrasur will be the enemy of Indra. But he chanted mantra a little bit, you know, different way. Indra Shatru ki jagah ho gaya Indra Shatru. So instead of the enemy of Indra, Indra became the enemy of this Vitrasur, and Indra will kill the Vitrasur. But even when the Vitrasur appeared, he was so big and so powerful, so ferocious, that everybody got scared of him. Everybody got scared of him. And they all ran to Lord. And they have been, full chapter is there, full of prayers, you know, they have offering so many prayers actually. Some of those prayers, you know, like if you read, you will be amazed at, must have read, that how intelligently, they already know that what Lord like and how Lord's devotees do and all that. But still they, in the end what they ask is only the material thing. I'll just read one or two things for you. He said, insensate transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have in once tasted but a drop of nectar from the ocean of your glories. You know, they're talking like a pure devotee. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? And they talk about that various incarnations and the forms Lord takes just to kill all the demons. And then they conclude that since you take so many forms to kill so many demons, so please take one more form to kill this Vritrasura, you know. Because we are so much in anxiety, we are so much in pain, we are so much in trouble. So basically they are engaging Lord in their service, if you see, very crude way. And instead of doing any seva to the Lord, they are asking some seva from the Lord. So this is the, you know, kind of thing when person is very much affected by the possessions he wants to have, then he look for that. And the Lord actually felt little sorry for them. And Lord told them, Kim durapam mai prite tathapi vibudhar shabha mai ekantra matri nanyan matto vanchati tattuvit. He said, O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me, but he does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in my devotional service. Generally people whom I am pleased with, I give darshan to them and they ask only pure devotional service, but what you are asking is something different, that is okay, you know. Like your kaam ho jayega, you know, like that. Your work will be done. And then he advised you go to the Dichi and take his bones and everything. And again, beautiful, you know, like description over there, that how they actually goes to the Dichi and they ask for bones from him. You know, if you just read that, then we can understand the context that how these great souls, they're completely detached from their own body and their own possessions. So their whole life is actually living for others. It's for inspiration, you know. It's for like we can live little bit of coming out of the selfishness by reading it. So basically what happened, they go to the, what you say, the Dichi, and the Dichi told them that, what he told them? That everybody's body is very dear to them and all that. But before talking about that, I just want to bring something from Bhagavad Gita, that actually to come to this level of completely giving oneself for another person, it's actually a very high platform. And Krishna, that's why he speaks so many chapters in Bhagavad Gita, so that anybody, wherever he is, he can actually start from there. Because I have heard many times from some devotees that selfless sacrifice require preparation. Person cannot just jump and say, you know, like from today I'm fully yours, you know. That will be like for a few hours after hearing some powerful lecture, after reading some heavy dose of philosophy. But actually again person comes back to his normal conditionings. So that's why Krishna also, in the, if you read the second chapter, he first proposed Karma Kanda to Arjuna. He didn't talk directly Bhakti Yoga. From 31 to 38, he actually talked about that, what is your gain, what is in it for me. Because everybody thinks that if I want to do something, then mere ko kya milega isme? What will I get from it? So Krishna said, if you fight, well, you will get kingdom if you win. And if you die, you will get heaven. And he also told that if you lose, you get heaven. And if you run away from your duty, what you will get? You will get infamy, akirti, and people talk ill about you, and you know, eventually you may commit suicide. Because when you go to back to somebody and they will insult you, and insult, you know, dishonor is worse than death. And for you to like, you have taken a vow, if somebody insult your Gandiva, then you will kill that person. So rather killing there, why don't you kill here and you do for a good cause? And then after talking all this, Krishna immediately says that no, now forget about this. Just do for the sake of fighting. Just do your duty. So immediately he brought from the desire platform to duty platform. Same thing he did in the third chapter also, if you carefully see. He talks about Sakam Karma Yoga, where he is talking about that how Lord has created this whole world so that we can mutually live together. Everybody can live mutually together. He talks about Saha Yagya Praja Sistva Purovacha Prajapati, that Lord has created different in charge of this creation, and we can actually please them, worship them, and get the basic necessities of life. You know, and then he talks about in series 3 to 4 verses, Devan Bhavyata Nena Te Deva Bhavayantuva Parasparam Bhavayanta Parasparam. Do seva to each other. Shreya Param Apavasyata. That at least person has to come to this platform first in the beginning. What is the platform? That I want something for myself, but I'll take it in a legal way. But in today's time, what is happening? I want something for myself, but I'll take it in a illegal way, unethical way. So that is a very cruel kind of thing. If somebody says, I want this, no problem. Shastras don't deny it. They say, do it proper way. And actually, if he tries to go beyond that very fast, then he'll have difficulty, you know. I was hearing one lecture, Bhurujan Puhi was saying also that if your level of sacrifice is like sacrificing 5%, then sacrifice 5 to 6%. And then eventually with that purification it will lead to more capacity for sacrificing. But suddenly in the passion of youth or something, somebody just sacrifices everything. So he sacrifices only for few months or few days or few weeks, we don't know how long it will last, depend on the intensity of his dose, what he got at that point. So that's why Krishna is saying, and then what happens, it's not just worshipping, it's actually what happens that eventually, because all the scriptures, they come from the mouth of Krishna, they're connected to God, purification is taking place. What to speak of worshipping demigods, like I told in the beginning in the 12th chapter, Krishna says, if somebody sacrifices even for some, any cause, there is some purification in that. Because sacrifice leads to purification. There is a law, this is a universal law. Like we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if somebody worships his superiors and Guru Varga, then he gets all the powers. And the demons, when they worship Shukracharya, when demigods lost, you know, because they disrespected Brihaspati, they lost. And demons, they worship their Guru Shukracharya, they got everything. Now somebody says, they are demons, Baba, how they get everything? But they follow the principle. So they followed the principle, they got everything. So this is the point actually. So then, the point which I am coming to is that person can be 17th verse, you know, which is the point which I want to connect with this complete surrender. Krishna says that only a person who is Atmarati, Atmarati means completely find pleasure from within oneself, only he can give up the work. He doesn't have to perform any work. It means that he doesn't have any prescribed duties. It means he doesn't need anything from outside. He has everything from within. So such a person is actually the perfected soul. So this is one platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga. And another platform is actually second verse, where 19th verse, where he says, Tasmad Asakta Satatam Karyam Karma Samachara. That without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. So there are the two platforms actually. Either person has to be completely satisfied, he doesn't need anything, then he can do something for another person. And second is, he just acting as a matter of duty. That this is my duty. What is my duty? Whatever. That I have to live for others. I have to live for first myself. That is come first, because Shastras say that if you take care of your body, if you take care of your oneself, then only you can do something for another person. But in today's time what happens, that person just keep taking and taking and taking, and there is no value system, there is no ethics are given that we have to share it with others also. Like in Gurukul system, what used to be there? Child is learning from his guru, okay? So he's taking. But at the same time he is giving also. To whom? There used to be system that he is giving to his younger person, you know, younger student. He is taking from his guru and he is giving to the younger person. He is going to the outside begging the food and he is giving to the guru back. So this whole system was taught from the beginning only. In today's time, children in the school, they just take, they don't share. They rather actually are so envious, they don't want to give it to anybody. And even the seniors, they rag the younger ones. They, you know, instead of giving, they made them work for them. You know, like engineering, they have to make drawing sheets and all that. So these seniors, they catch the juniors and they give their drawing sheets. And these people are making whole night for them. So where is the culture of giving here? So that's why when they become senior, they're just waiting for the new batch to come so that they can exploit them. So this is the situation. You know, Akechan Krishnabhu had spoken this nice thing in the last time when I had his class. There is a Jordan River actually in Israel. And this Jordan River supplies water to two seas, Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. So both seas are getting water from the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea is actually has no life. There no aquatic can live in it, no plant can live in it, nothing. And the Sea of Galilee is actually full of all kinds of life. Why? Because Dead Sea is quite down, you know. It's quite below. There is no outlet of the water. Water just comes in and in and in. And when water just comes in and in and in, every day over 1 million ton water is evaporating. And when water is just kept evaporating, only the minerals are there, only the salt is there. So 30% to 40% salt in that water. So how can anybody survive? The Sea of Galilee, it is also getting, it's just north of Dead Sea. It's also getting the water from the Jordan River, but it has a outlet. The water is going out. Water is going out. And that's why all the life is there. So even from the nature, we can understand this, that how when person has this taking and giving system, then actually it is a, you know, like life is there. Otherwise, the person is just living for oneself. It is actually dead person. Krishna talks about it actually in a, what do you say? Sorry, before going to that. Yeah, 20, 21, 22, Krishna only talks about that even if somebody has perfected his life, even that person decides to live for others, you know. Because he has always lived in a detached way. So now also he feels that if I don't perform my duty, then what will happen to others? Selfishness doesn't creep in, actually. He has perfected his life. He doesn't have to perform his duty because he has nothing to do with this world. He doesn't want anything from outside. When he wants something from outside, then the prescribed duty comes into picture. But even such a person continues to do his duty because now he is thinking only about others. Krishna is saying that if I stop doing my duty, then others will follow my path and they will give up the duty. You know? And people only follow what you know, easy. So if giving up the duty is the easy thing, they will give up their duty. So even after becoming perfect, person continues to perform his duties. You know, that is a very beautiful thing here. And what I was saying? Sorry, I got the point. 1 minute. Yeah. So demigods, they actually went to the Dadichi and they asked for his bones. So he told that you know, Atmanam Sarvato Rakshet Tato Dharmam Tato Dhanam. It is said in the Prabhupada says in the purport. Atmanam Sarvato Rakshet. Jab aap pehle apni ki raksha karoge, tab dharma aayega aur fir dhan aayega. You know. So basically first you have to take care of yourself. And then, but generally people are taking care of oneself only. They don't go beyond that. That's why we need to read and talk and all these things to ourselves, to others also. So they said, you know, the Dadichi said, you know, no one wants to give up his body unless it is forcibly given away. Even though Vishnu demands it, you know, it's very difficult to give it up. So now demigods are getting little, you know, insecure. You know, Lord Krishna told that he will give the bones and this is the only hope for us. And he's saying, no, no. So they now using the sarcastic or very diplomatic words here. They said, you know, first demigods glorified the charitable nature of pious souls. You know, generally when you want something from somebody, you glorify that particular kind of act, which you expect from that person. So they told, O pious Brahman, you're very kind and affectionate, you know, people in general. What can such pious souls give for the benefit of others? They give everything, including their bodies. So what is your problem? Because pious souls anyway give their bodies. And you know, like, if a donor knows the difficulty of the beggar. If donor knows the difficulty of the beggar, then he will immediately give. And if the beggar knows the difficulty of the donor, he will not ask from the donor. And they said, you know, like, iska matlab ya hai, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the commentary on it. They were trying to say that anyway we are selfish. We want material things, you know. So we are the beggar. We know your difficulty, that's okay. But you should know our difficulty more than us, because you are great soul. Khali pili mein Vishnu aapka itna gunagan kar rahe the, you know. Aisa to kuch laga nahi. You are also on the same level where we are. If we are attached to our body, then you are also attached to your body. If you are not attached to your body, give your body to us. That is what indirectly they said. So actually Dadichi already decided, because Lord Vishnu had told, and for any higher cause a great soul will give his body. This interesting thing in this, if you see carefully, he gave his body for demigod sense gratification. A great soul is giving his body for what? So that Indra and his company can get the power. But if you see deeper, he didn't give his body for them. He gave his body because Vishnu told. Keeping Vishnu in his mind, keeping Vishnu lotus feet in his heart, he gave his body up actually. So it's actually doesn't matter for whom we are giving our service if our goal is something different. Like gopis, when they were worshipping Katyayani, Katyayani didn't give them darshan. Krishna gave darshan. You know? But they worship Katyayani thinking that we'll get Krishna. So it is a very interesting principle that person is should give up his body or anything which he has, because anyway it is going to be taken away. Because he said, the teacher said that body will be anyway it will be taken away one day. So before the body gives you up, we should give up the body. Not that we, you know, commit suicide or take some potassium cyanide or something, but understanding the nature of this body, like Kulashekhar Maharaj says, idam shariram parinama peshalam pattati avasyam sat jandhi jarjaram. That this body is anyway going to be destroyed, because this body is not one piece of some bone. There are thousands of, not thousands, I think hundreds of joints here. Yeah? There are bones, they are joined. And on that there is some flesh covered. And on that there is a vein, there is some blood flowing, and there is a beautiful skin is put on that. Any rate can fall. So before the body gives it up, if we start becoming detached from it, and how we become detached from it? By using in service of others. Otherwise we'll never be become detached from it. That's why Krishna talks about actually in this 10th canto only. He's talking to his cowherd boys and he's glorifying the trees in the forest. He's saying, just see the nature of these trees. What is the nature of these trees? What is the nature? That they give themselves in the service of others. Their fruits and their flowers and the bark, and there is a wood. Everything is meant for the service of others. You know, one devotee was saying in his lecture, he was saying that these trees are so selfless that not even one fruit they eat themselves. Not even one fruit they give to their own child, like a small plant, for their own family members. And this human body, no fruit comes out of this body. Only the nasty substance comes out of the body. So after having this contrast that these trees are using, you know, that's why Dadichi also says that if somebody is not using his body for other service, that he is pitied even by immovable beings. Even trees feel pity on him. That we are giving ourselves completely, but you as a human being can do better, actually. We can do the highest welfare service for others by connecting them to Krishna, by giving them the knowledge, by providing them the support system where they can practice the life of ethics and values. And if that is not happening, then what happens? Paropkarai phalanti vriksha. Vriksha lives for others, actually. And even the rivers, their water is, you know, even trees are drinking and the animals are drinking and human beings are drinking and they're washing their clothes and everything, but they don't drink their water. Rivers are giving for everybody. So this beautiful principle that even trees are living for others actually is talked about in Srimad Bhagavatam by Krishna himself, you know. But sometimes human beings become so selfish that once one person was sitting under the shade of a tree in the month of Jet, this May and June month, which is completely hot. So he was relaxing in that shade, and when he was sitting there, one dog came. And dog also wanted to sit in the shade. And it's a big shade. He was sitting far behind from him. And he started doing, hut, hut. And the tree started telling him. He said, what are you doing? You know, first of all, it is not your shade. You are sitting under my shade. If it would have been your shade,
then it's fine, you know. Then you have a right to at least say no. But even if it is extra shade, what is the problem if he's sitting there? So this is the mentality when people have, when they have lived only for, like, you know, me, 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 it becomes very difficult for them to actually bring anything which is anyway connected to or nearby of giving. And scriptures, if we see, even Bhagavad Gita we see, Krishna somehow just trying to pull Arjuna from his self-absorption to detachment. That is the whole crux, actually, if we read the first few chapters, you know. Arjuna had an idea to take an excuse and run away, you know. Like, when he's hearing second chapter, Krishna so nicely explained Nishkam Karma Yoga, he so nicely explained Sthita Pragya, but even after explaining all that, Arjuna only caught the word Buddhi, you know. The Buddhi, you know, intelligence. So I have to use Buddhi, intelligence, Jnana, and Jnana means I have to go to forest. You know, he want to run away. And then he caught this verse, 48, instead of 47. Krishna says, karmalnevadhikaraste mahafaleshu kadachana. And he caught which one? 49. Durena hi varam karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya. That keep abominable activities far distance. So, if you see here, what is abominable activity? Abominable activities means krapana falhetava. That when person wants fruits for oneself, he is miser, and that is abominable activities. And Arjuna caught what? This war is abominable activity. So this is what, you know, Shastras are state specific. Whatever kind of state we are in, we just get those things from there. So he thought that Krishna is telling me to run away from the battle. Because how can I practice jnana, meditation, and equipoise, and, you know, all those qualities of sthit pragya in war? Krishna is saying, no, it doesn't matter what occupation you have. If you are giving the fruits for Krishna, if you are becoming detached from those fruits, it doesn't matter, you know. For somebody some kind of occupation, for somebody else another kind of occupation. If one is not doing occupation according to his nature, it will be very difficult to become detached. It will be very difficult because he will be always hoping for something more for another person, you know. That's why Krishna talks about bhayavaha. That if you work for another person's nature, first of all you will not get that and you will get disturbed in that. So that's why Krishna talks about ki you should do your own duty. And I'll conclude with this one analogy, that how if we put fish into river, thinking that river is, sorry, if we put fish from the water to milk, thinking that milk is a better liquid, better fluid than milk, than water, then will fish survive, you know. So similarly, if somebody has a particular kind of body and mind and nature, like Arjuna here, he can do better sacrifice by fighting rather than going to the forest. And if somebody has a band of mind by reading Shastras and giving to others, what he will do? So talwar bhi uthega nahi. So similarly, like, we have to find and be situated where we are. And then eventually what will happen? Definitely we'll come to the platform where, you know, this Dadichi Muni is ready to give up his body, and we'll become detached from this body before leaving this body. Like this coconut, when it is green, it is stuck to the shell. But when it is dry, you can hear the sound also. So the great souls, before the death comes, they are already out of it. Otherwise, so much pain and misery, and always we will need so many things. Okay, thank you. Any comments or anything, anybody? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.